For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What's up, everybody? We are back from hiatus. It's time to go. We're going to get this thing cranking up. It's going to be a really nice, quick show for you. Stay tuned. Let's get after it. All right. Good evening as we are live here on Monday night, March 25th, 2024. Want to welcome you guys into the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast on the Believe Network. Not joining me tonight. Part of our hiatus, part of the reason why we've been on hiatus is because of schedule conflicts. Either Israel or myself, I've had some schedule conflicts. So we've taken quite a bit of time off, not intentionally, but just because we needed to have a little bit of time there as well to get settled. Israel in a new place in Thomasville, me getting the yearbook at my school completed, spring break and all that good stuff. But I'm back here. I wanted to come on real quick, talk about a few headlines before they really, really died. But when Israel and I finally get together later on this week, we're going to talk about these issues, what they mean and all that good stuff. Spring practice raging on as we get close to Easter, and baseball just coming off an impressive sweep of Alabama. The baseball team is absolutely crushing for Georgia. So this is going to be a fun show. But starting off with a little bit of a heavy topic. Trevor Etienne was unfortunately arrested over the weekend. He was charged with DUI, and he was charged with reckless driving as well, for misdemeanor driving offenses. All in all, he had affixing material that reduces the visibility of windows and windshields and failure to maintain the proper lane, which is probably why he got pulled over in the first place. He posted bail totaling of $1,800 after being arrested. This was at 4:35 in the morning. In Athens. Nothing good ever happens at that hour. First of all, you have to just shake your head at another motor vehicle violation. And there's some things happening here. The DUI, he was charged technically with DUI, less safe, because he was not over the legal limit. He was convicted of that because they felt like he was affected enough to be not safe. So it's not a good thing. publicity wise, not a great thing for Trevor Etienne to be driving like that, putting people at danger with everything that's gone on within this program and the issues that have been caused by motor vehicle accidents. It's just, you know, again, it's just mind blowing that that would happen. Unfortunately, he learned that he's not in Gainesville anymore, and this is not a not a very, very good thing. So, but I think all in all, it will all kind of get sorted out as they play out the process and as they, you know, Kirby will deal with it internally probably. And I don't know exactly what that means, but I.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Imagine there's going to be a lot of early mornings running and stadiums and all that good stuff. So just wanted to get that out there. That was something that was kind of, you know, facepalm issue, things like that. So not great news at all, but again, just something that you're accustomed to this time of year when they're not quite as busy. New transfer probably doesn't know the lay of the land quite yet. Unfortunate that it happened. Unfortunate that this was what represented the program. So hate to see it, but it is what it is. Israel and I I'm definitely going to ask Israel about it more in depth, and we'll probably, you know, get his side of it and things like that. He's seen as a member of the program, he's probably seen a lot of these things happen and how they're dealt with and things like that. So I can't wait to get his perspective on it. Now, speaking of spring practice, there's a lot of storylines happening with this football team. There's a lot of exciting things going on with this football team. And I'm remiss that we didn't get a chance to kick off spring practice as it properly needed to be kicked off. I was probably kicking back in Naples, Florida on the beach. I was kicking back some beverages. I was kicking back in the salt water and making, you know, having a fun spring break. I was also trying to put the yearbook together. That I got behind on that. So that's always fun, but you never know how that goes. But anyway, spring football is always a fun time of the year because I think there's a lot of storylines that kind of play out. One of my favorite things about spring, one of the best things about spring, or really one of the most beneficial things about spring, is I think you get to slow down the pace a little bit. You get to try people out at different positions. You get to see what kind of depth that you have. You get to offer reps to people who don't normally get reps during the season. And any sort of battle, you're able to have more scrimmages, more 11-on-11 opportunities to kind of see how these guys respond, all of that good stuff. Those are like the main benefits of spring practice. Now, there's other opportunities for guys that, like, they started and, like, they didn't play as well or as consistently as they wanted to, you know, throughout the season. It gives these guys also opportunities to get a lot of key reps against stellar competition, especially when you're able to go good on good, probably more than you would in fall camp or definitely in the season. So I'm very grateful for that. I know the players are grateful for that, and I know the coaches are grateful for that because they get to properly evaluate guys they normally wouldn't evaluate throughout the course of the season. So what are some of the storylines? And again, can't wait to get Israel in on this as well. Again, I just wanted to break the hiatus. Sometimes, you know, sometimes I might have to go solo every once in a while, but it's all good. No worries there. But one of the storylines obviously is how is Now Gunnar Stockton is likely the number two guy behind Carson Beck. And Carson Beck, how he's going to bounce back. I say bounce back loosely because he had a stellar, phenomenal season. Just didn't quite get it done in the last game as a team. So how is he going to help lead this bounce back? How is he going to have a season that's going to be worthy of being a first-round pick? He doesn't have his safety blanket with Brock Bowers. How is that going to look? How is this new-look offense going to perform? You have new pieces. I think with the way this offense is constructed, like maybe – you know, it's not going to go through the tight end position as it has the past three seasons with Brock Bowers, maybe. It's going to look the same, but a little bit different as far as personnel groupings go. Defensively, how will those guys mesh a little bit? Because you have a lot of guys that played and a lot of guys that needed some valuable reps that got them throughout the course of the season. How's that going to shake out? So Where do I start? So here's where I start. I start with offensively, the biggest storyline is how do you replace Brock Bowers? And the answer is when they went 12 personnel last season, there was a guy by the name of Oscar Delp. And I think he's going to be the guy that you're going to see a lot of promise with. And you're going to be very pleasantly surprised with Oscar Delp. Not that his ability will jump out and shock you, but like I think you're still going to be surprised at like how good he is, because last season I think sometimes he got the yips a little bit. You saw some flashes throughout his time as a freshman, as a sophomore, now as a junior. You saw flashes of like what he's capable of, like the catch. There was a catch against South Carolina, I think his freshman year, that Carson Beck threw him. He went and high pointed a ball, you know, things like that, or, you know, catches in open space. And you know, as he starts to learn some of the nuances of the scheme and of the game, he's only going to grow and get make much a bigger impact. And he's going to have a much larger role now, too. He's going to be the guy instead of the second guy. And how is he going to do at the point of attack? How is he going to do when he's the main focus from the tight end spot? How is all that going to shake out? I cannot wait to see that in the G-Day game. How is this offense going to look? What are they going to do? They brought in three new receivers: Michael Jackson, Colby White, and London Humphreys. How are they going to integrate into this wide receiving core that consists of Arian Smith, Ra-Ra Thomas, Dominic Lovett? You know, they're losing Marcus Rosemary Jack Saint, they're losing Ladd McConkey from that group, but they still have a lot of guys remain, and these transfer guys are going to have to come in very, very quick. And I've heard White is actually falling out a little bit, and he's going to be a major, major factor in this receiving core. So I'm excited to see that. Now, what does that do? Okay. Now I'm an offensive coordinator in high school. So is Israel. So like when you have a shift, you know, what is Mike Bobo going to do with the shift in personnel? Because when you're so used to going 12 personnel, run, play action, find Brock Bowers somewhere and let him catch and run and let him take over a game. Like, what are you going to do when you don't have that? Because I love, as much as I praised Oscar Delp, he's not Brock Bowers. Nobody is. So what do you do when that goes away? And now you have, kind of a philosophy that you kind of built yourself around. What does that look like when the personnel shifts? Like, how is Mike Bobo going to adjust to having more 10 personnel type guys? Like, what is he going to do there? You know, is he going to stick with 12 personnel? I mean, you got Lawson Lucky that's coming in as your number two. You've got some guys there. You've got the kid from You got the kid from Stanford as well. He's going to be somebody that I think is going to really factor into this as well. To me, it seems like he's going to be able to stick with some of the stuff that he's done. Maybe not as heavily as he did with Brock Bowers and Oscar Delp, but maybe, you see a little bit more 11 personnel sprinkled in, maybe some 10 personnel sets, things like that. You're going to see them really kind of rely on the run game. Gone are your like superstar guys. Trevor Etienne comes in. Obviously talked about him at the top of the show, getting in trouble. But he's going to have to factor in after whatever punishment he's doled out. If he runs a million stadiums, he's going to run a 3.9 at the combine. That's how much his legs are going to be in shape. So all kidding aside though, like you've got to figure out a way to get all of these guys targets. You've got to figure out ways to spread the ball around. And I think you're going to have guys that can take advantage of different things. You have Scobie White, you have Robert Thomas on the outside. Those guys can really kind of burn it down. You've got London Humphreys kind of in that Ladd McConkey role. You've got Dominic Lovett who can run jet sweeps, who can do a lot of different things, screens, short intermediate stuff, crossing routes. He can take the lid off. He can run posts, corners. He can kind of go through the gamut of things. And not to say the other guys can't, but like you're probably going to see Dominic Lovett as your safety blanket. He's going to be kind of your Swiss, or as I like to say, your Swiss Army knife. So, and again, these are all ideas I'm going to bounce off Israel, and I can't wait to kind of get into it. So Israel, if you do happen to catch this, I'm going to we're going to talk a lot of scheme here. He was just named offensive coordinator at Thomasville, so that's going to be a lot of fun there. I can't wait to kind of pick his brain a little bit and see what he would do kind of with what Mike Bobo was faced with in the scheme personnel stuff. So I want to thank you guys for listening. We are presented by betonline.ag, your number one source for all your sports wagering needs. If you want to bet it, they have it at betonline.ag, including an online casino. So make sure you go to betonline.ag now, create an account, make a deposit. If you type in the promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, they will give you a 50% welcome bonus on that first deposit. They will match it. So make sure you head to betonline.ag right now. Do it. Betonline.ag, it's where the game starts. So lots happening on offense, right? Carson Beck has even more weapons at his disposal. It seems to be a more explosive offense. Up front seems to be really, really good. Even though you lose Amarius Mims and Cedric Van Pran, doesn't seem like you're going to skip a huge, huge beat, and that's no knock on those guys. It just means they've recruited well, and they're a little bit more comfortable in the system now. Coach Searles has been there for a little while now, and so it's exciting to kind of see how this offense gels, and I want to see what it looks like in the spring game, and how are they crisp? Do they understand? Are they on the same page? Who is going to gel with Carson Beck the most? Who is going to take advantage of those opportunities within the scheme to find the targets go their way? Who's that going to be? Don't know yet. But it's going to shake out, and it could be a different guy every week. And that's very possible too. And you just got to hope that those guys are patient in that regard. So, it's a good problem to have, I guess, if you're Coach Bobo. And so it's fun. It's fun to have. So Carson Beck's going to have a stellar season. Gunnar Stockton going to be his backup. I'm hearing he's improving tremendously. And I'm hearing that he's doing really, really well. Ryan Puglisi is going to be a name he's going to be in the mix here in the very near future as well. Can't wait to see kind of how he develops within the scheme. So it's going to all be exciting for this offense. But let's not exclude the defense, shall we? I mean, obviously, let's not do that. But one of the guys that I think surprisingly, and our friends over at UJ Sports agree with this But I think somebody that I think could have benefited. He had a tremendous first year starting last year, opposite of Kamari Lassiter. But now he's going to be – now he's kind of expected to be the guy. And that's Dalen Everett, right? He is his first start – his first year as starter, he gave up 29 catches on 54 targets for 367 yards, a pick, and four pass breakups. And it's crazy to say that he could even improve those numbers a little bit. Those targets could go way down. Like this is incredible to say. And it just, he's going to be that guy that you're going to see make that jump to. He's a pretty good corner to, oh my God, he's a game-changing corner. And so when you look at kind of how he plays, he got more comfortable as the year went on too. I think early on he was a little bit nervous. There were some plays that he made out of sheer athleticism, but you could tell that, you know, there were some breakdowns in communication. There were some breakdowns in his understanding of the scheme. There were some things like that. When he played man, he seemed to be more comfortable there. And he was able to kind of go out and really, really make some plays. But I think he's somebody that will now just go based on like, all right, he's getting more comfortable now. He's starting to make some plays. He started to kind of understand to being the guy that can say, that can make calls, that can make adjustments on the fly. He can be that guy that with Malachi Starks can be, they can be those two guys that kind of help the coverage marry up with the pressures, things like that, making sure guys are in the right position, holding guys accountable, even in, and you know, probably realistically between series, be the vocal guy that comes over and says, hey, they're doing this, that, and the other, and here's what we need to do to stop it, and kind of being that extra defensive coordinator out there on the field. So that's the jump that he can take. He could be more anticipatory. That comes with time. Not saying that he wasn't, not saying he didn't have great technique and great ball skills and great anticipation last year. He certainly got more comfortable with that as you see that he was in a position more and more times last year. But when you look at how he can progress, like that's scary to think that like he was pretty dang good opposite of Kamari Lassiter. Now he's in a position to where he can be extremely good as the lead guy in that cornerback unit and maybe even in the defensive backfield. Him and Malachi Starks are going to be scary together. Malachi Starks, somebody who is extremely athletic, probably the most memorable play of his career is that play in the Oregon game where he laid out parallel to the ground to make an interception. So I'm excited about this defense nonetheless, and I think there's a lot happening. I think pressure-wise, I think you know, up front-wise.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
As you know, the biggest question every year since Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter have left has been absolutely the defensive line. Like, how is that going to improve? You know, it's like what are we thinking here? Mykel Williams is somebody that I'm extremely excited about. He's somebody that he can do a lot of different things. You know, he can play the Jack linebacker, which is like the boundary run support outside linebacker. He can drop down in some fronts and play the three technique. I mean, he's somebody that I really like as somebody that's versatile and somebody that can really kind of get after you. And one of the reasons why I think they want to move him around is because it allows for creativity. if his hands in the dirt is a three technique, he can push the pocket from the inside. He can be athletic and take advantage of matchups or mismatchups, I should say, against interior lineman guys who definitely aren't fast enough and quick enough and strong enough to take him on. You have outside linebacker stuff to where he can play the edge runs. A lot of people are going to that wide zone scheme where that, a lot of teams are using pin and pull as kind of their wide slash outside run game. He's somebody that can really set an edge for you and make a lot of plays there. He's going to do it all, man. He's going to be everywhere. And you're going to, he's somebody that it's a rarity that in today's game that you have somebody that can cross train like Michael Williams. And this team should be excited about that and his versatility there. Also defensive line, it's going to be, it's just going to kind of be who is going to, you just don't know. Like who's going to kind of emerge from that defensive line? I mean, it's going to be one of those things, man. Who's going to emerge? And who's going to be the guy? Let's just put it out there. Who's it going to be? We don't have to answer that question right now. That's the beautiful thing about it. We don't have to answer it. But it's going to have to be something that we see in the spring game. I think in order for this team to be special, you're going to have to see somebody just kind of take over. You know, we didn't have that last year. Zion Logue, love him. Mazur Stackhouse, love him. Neither of them really took over. They had their moments, but none of those guys on the defense line really, really took over a game. And at times that hurt us, as you see that clap of lightning out there. At times that hurt us. At times that, it made us vulnerable against the run because those guys weren't as dominant, whether it was like a stamina thing or what. I don't know what it was. They're certainly talented enough. I mean, Zion Logue was in one of those postseason bowl games. He's going to be somebody that will be picked up and probably be very productive on somebody's defensive line in the NFL, kind of like what Kedrick Golston was years ago. Kedrick Golston was nothing special at Georgia. He did his job. He was extremely solid, and he just every once in a while he'd wreak havoc. But for the most part, he wasn't a dominant guy like Jalen Carter or Jordan Davis or defensive linemen like that we've had in the past, Geno Atkins. He's just extremely consistently good. And that's what Zion Logue was. He was consistently good all the time. Every once in a while, he'd wreak some havoc. And that's going to be really good at the NFL level. But again, in a college scheme where you're moving around a lot, sometimes you just get beat when you're consistent. It doesn't happen very, very often, but sometimes you just get beat, or sometimes they just run away from you and you can't get there. Like sometimes, like scheme wise, like you just can't, if you're one guy and you're not dominant, you can kind of get lost in the shuffle a little bit. And that's what kind of happened with the defensive line. Every once in a while, they'd make themselves vulnerable as a unit, not as individual players, but as a unit. So they need one or two guys, I think, to step up and really kind of take that next level, leap beyond being really consistent, really good, leap beyond that and be somebody that's dominant. Like that's what that defensive line is missing, that dominant guy. Who's it going to be? I don't know. It could be anybody. It can't be Michael Williams and Michael Williams only. And Trey Scott's done a phenomenal job. Like I don't want it to go understated that he's not. I don't want you to think that he's not doing a great job, because I think he absolutely is. This group has been very steady, very good, very talented, and playing at a, as a host for the number one team in the country who has every five-star under the sun. I don't want everything to, you want to kind of be real a little bit. So like if I'm breaking down the team, like this is like Georgia's defensive line problems are problems that probably that I would say 95% of teams wish that they had. So I don't want to take that for granted. And, you know, unfortunately, we've been spoiled a lot. And this group has been spoiled a little bit because the greatest defense to ever play college football came through 2 years ago, won a national championship. And we haven't really quite had defensive line play that good since. And it's not that it's been bad. I mean, you go from giving up like less than 10 points a game on average to like giving up close to 20 points a game per average. That's a pretty significant spike, but still in the upper, still way in the upper echelon of defenses and defensive fronts. So don't get it twisted when you hear me say that, like, this is probably the weakest unit that Georgia has. That's not a knock on the unit. That's just saying that, hey, if the defensive, like the linebackers are phenomenal. CJ Allen is going to be a deuce. Mel Munden, when he's healthy, when he's done being banged up and he can get back to 100%, he's going to be outstanding. Raylan Wilson going to be outstanding. Troy Bowles, Todd Bowles' son, going to be amazing. Right, going to have some great outside linebackers. And there's just some guys there that are ballers on that defensive front. Mykael Williams is going to kind of move all over the place. He's kind of like the Swiss Army knife of the defense. It's going to be an incredible defense. But every once in a while, when you have a defensive line that plays really well as a unit, but there's no dominant guy that disrupts, sometimes, because these are SEC offensive linemen, these are SEC teams that recruit SEC caliber players as well, sometimes they get you. Sometimes they gash you. Sometimes they get momentum on you and they're able to have successful rushing on you. That happened last year. And it can become a problem if it's, you know, if that becomes more consistent because you don't have star power, that could become a concern very, very quickly. But again, do your job. I think they will, and they'll be really, really good. So I'm excited about that unit. I'm excited to see kind of what they bring. I'm excited to see if there's a star that wants to emerge from that group. I would be happy with that. So this would be really, really fun to watch. So those are kind of some of the storylines to watch for, and I can't wait to talk to Israel about that. But before we go, this is not just a Georgia football show. I want to give a shout out to the baseball team. Massive, massive sweep of Alabama. This is really, really good. This is a team that has been outstanding to start the year. A team that last year, if you said that they were going to start this way, I would call you crazy, right? They got swept by Kentucky in the season opening series. But then they went ahead and said, okay, Alabama, number 8 team in the country, forget about it, right? We're going to sweep you. And they did. They completed the sweep with a 10-5 win against Alabama. Wes Johnson, man, he's been a tremendous, tremendous hire for this club. And the level of play, the level of detail, and the fact that these pitchers are actually pitching – like, if you can find a guy that teaches your pitchers how to pitch, and I know that sounds silly because, they're pitchers. They're supposed to pitch. Well, if you watch baseball, go watch youth baseball. Pitchers, this is disappointing. And if anyone out there listening has a pitcher, teach them how to pitch. If you can, like, if you have a high schooler that throws 90 instead of 96, because right now scouts are looking for that number on the gun, 96, 97, 98. Obviously, if you can throw that hard and pitch, then you're going to be probably a first rounder, going to have a really long Major League Baseball career. But one of the greatest pitchers of all time didn't even throw 90 miles an hour. But he pitched It was the ultimate game of chess with the hitter. He was a pitcher, not a thrower, a pitcher. Understanding counts, understanding locations, understanding how to set up hitters and keep hitters off balance, understanding movement and how to fool hitters and how to make things look the same and things like that. How to be fluid with your rotation, how to hide the ball better. Like, all those things factor into pitching. And you're starting to kind of see that with this Georgia pitching staff a little bit. That's the point that I was going on a little bit. You're starting to kind of see that. And it's very, very good. And it's going to pay you dividends as you go. All right. Daniel Padisac, Josh Roberge, Brian Zedlin, all really good out of the pen. There's some names that I've really, really included. Corey Collins, Dylan Goldstein, you have Charlie Condon, Sebastian Murillo, Colby Branch, Corey Collins, Paul Totes. There's so many guys out there contributing. It's insane, right? And it's a team that's hitting and hitting and hitting and hitting. And they're getting pitching that is good enough, right? And so I've been impressed with this team, and I can't wait to kind of see how they go and how they progress and things like that. So they have a game tomorrow night. I'm recording this live. This is live. So if you're watching this later, they have a game against Mercer. And then they have a weekend series against I'm pulling it up. I haven't memorized the schedule yet, so pardon me. But they have a weekend series against Tennessee. Huge series. That's Tony Vitello's group. All right, must see baseball right there. If they can win some games in that series, it's going to be phenomenal. So, but anyway, I've gone on long enough. I can't wait to get Israel back. Again, I just wanted to break the hiatus. Nothing against Israel. Nothing, occasionally we're just two extremely busy individuals. So occasionally we're not going to be able to work out each other's schedules, and that's okay. I'm okay with that. But I just wanted to let you guys know that we're still around, and we're going to continue to bring you content and things like that. We're going to put together a plan to kind of account for our busy schedules and being able to put content out. If that means me going solo every once in a while and getting together with Israel once a week, then that's got to be the case. We got to get you your content and still get you excited, just as excited to see me solo as you are to see the duo, the main event is what I call it. He is the straw that stirs the drink on this show. I'm kind of the driver. He's the main attraction. So Israel Troop will be back hopefully in the next episode, and we'll have a lot to talk about. Also on our channel, SEC After Dark, check that out. I'm one of the panelists there with Stephen Willis, Jake Thomas, and Jeb Beachum. So check that out. It's right here on this channel. You don't have to go anywhere. It's right here on the channel. So check us out. But until then, we'll see you back here. The next time I see you, it's going to be a fun one. We're going to continue on with spring practice, baseball talk. I'm going to get a little bit more reaction on Trevor Etienne and maybe try to make this another cautionary tale. Maybe somebody will get it somewhere down the road. But anyway, we'll talk to you later. As always, go Dogs. We'll see you back here next time. Better than ever. Let's get it. Peace.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.